السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بقدر حسنه وكماله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and sisters at the madrasa, we are discussing a hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the past 2-3 weeks, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my Rabb specifically ordered me 9 things. He gave me specific instruction that I must be particular about 9 things. That's what it means. We have discussed at length, but of course we cannot cover all aspects and all angles. It's impossible even if we go on and on. But we have discussed the first one, and that is to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala both in secrecy and in public. In one's private life, public life. In one's seclusion, when a person is alone, or when he is in company. He must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab. He must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becoming displeased. He must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala withdrawing those ni'mats which he has blessed him with, because it is all given by him and he can draw the carpet from beneath the feet whenever he wishes. So we should fear displeasing that Allah who has blessed us with all these ni'mats, whether we are alone or whether we are in company, in private or in public. We must have that same taqwa. It must not be a different kind of taqwa in the masjid and a different kind of taqwa at home. Of course, the actions and the a'mal of the masjid will be different from the actions and the a'mal that one person will do at home. It's not that he will do the same thing at home, but taqwa will mean that he must abstain from everything that is haram and forbidden, whether it is in his home or in his business or in the masjid or on the plane or in the train, or even if he's in the crane. But he must stay away from everything that is haram. Then we discussed the second part, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb specifically instructed me, ordered me, that I must only say that which is haq and which is truth. I must be fair and just, in other words, in all kinds of temperament, whether I am in a good mood or I am sad and unhappy or displeased, I must say that which is haq. We discussed that also at some length, and then we went on to the third point, that whether we are poor or whether we are rich, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, may Allah ordered me that in both states, states of poverty and state of affluence and richness, in both states I must adopt moderation. I must take the center or the middle road. I must not go on to any extreme, Allah, extreme right or extreme left. I must not try to live beyond my means when I am not able to afford, and when I am able to afford, then I must not be extravagant. I must not become the brother of shaitan. Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayatin. Those who are lavish in their spending, then they are the brothers of shaitan. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the third thing is that must adopt moderation in both affluence and in poverty. Now we go on to the fourth point, and that is something which I will term as a bitter pill to swallow. This is a bitter pill to swallow because it affects everyone. It affects the adults, male and female. It affects the young boys and young girls, and it even affects the children. Although the children will not be questioned, those who are underage, those who are not yet baligh, they will not be questioned, because the person who is not yet baligh, or the person who is fast asleep, or the person who is mad and insane, they will not be questioned with regards to their actions. But the fact is that it affects everyone. Lots of things we regard as sin, and I mentioned many times that these majlises are for the purposes of tarbiyah, that until and unless we do not get the courage and the himmat to give up sins, we will not be able to become the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will not be able to draw directly from the treasures of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because a friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah deals in a different manner. And with the enemy, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala deals in a different manner. It is just that we become confused, or our eyes are so accustomed to just treating a person with plenty of wealth, beautiful car, beautiful home, as a person who is a friend of Allah. Whereas it is not necessary. The person in the hut can be a friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the person in the palace can be the enemy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, a person in the hut can be an enemy of Allah ta'ala, and the person in the palace who is a king, he can be a friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he is ruling with justice, then Sultan-e-Adil, look up the hadiths, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accommodate him under the shade of his throne on that day when there will be no other shade. Now he's a sultan, he's a king, he's a ruler, but he will be getting that status. Why? Because he was just, he was fair. So it is not poor or rich. Allah ta'ala does not look at that. The poor person can be the wali of Allah or he can be the enemy of Allah. The rich person can be the wali of Allah or the enemy of Allah ta'ala. But generally, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives plentiful to those people who are disbelievers, to those who do not even believe in him or his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They reject all kind of belief in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sometimes gives them plentiful. And it dazzles the eyes of the believers. It's a test for them. Dushmano ko aish aab o gil diya, aur doston ko apna dard e dil diya. Mai Shaykh Hazrat Maulana ki Madaftar sa daawat barakatum. He says, dushmano ko aish aab o gil diya, aur doston ko apna dard e dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, aur humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. Allah Ta'ala gave them everything, but even on the shores, they found nothing but storms. They are on the shore, but they are experiencing nothing but storms inside their heart of all kinds. Restlessness. You take America, take Europe, take England, and take the other countries of the world, and even South Africa now and other parts of the world, where everything is legalized. So then what is it that is leading them to suicide? What is it that is leading them to taking their lives and doing all sorts of things and taking so much of drugs for sleep? What is the thing? Because they can eat whatever they wish to. Nothing is haram. They can sleep wherever they wish to. They can sleep with whomever so they wish to. There's nobody restricting them. There's nobody forbidding them. They can drink whatever they wish. Nobody said sharab is haram for them. Wine and alcohol. So when they are getting everything, whatever their heart desires, and they've got plentiful of money also, plenty of dollars and pounds, so then what is the need to take those drugs and sleep? What is the need to go and commit suicide? There should be no need for it. We can say the Muslims are restricted from everything, as one professor once said, that because in Islam they restrict you, that you must not commit zina, you must not drink this, you must not eat that. So that causes a bit of depression. So the solution to depression is that you must indulge in whatever your mind desires. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. This is coming from a Muslim professor. So he says it creates depression. Toyota Cressida 394448. You are obstructing somebody. Please move your car. So he says this creates depression. So therefore we must do whatever our heart desires. Then you won't suffer depression. So I replied to that student who came and told me this, that this is what the professor said. I said, then Europe, America and all these places, there is no restraint at all. There is nothing restricting them. They are allowed to do whatever their heart desires. Then why do we have such large percentage of people suffering depression in those countries? What is restricting them? They can do whatever they like. Whereas the cure for depression is to give up those sins and then see how peace and sukoon and tranquility and serenity and happiness and joy and satisfaction and contentment all comes inside the heart. Allah Ta'ala will give such gardens in the heart, such gardens, that what do these kings and rulers know of those gardens? So what I was telling you is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the fourth thing, before we go very far, the fourth thing which he mentioned, and that I say is a bitter pill because it affects everybody. And what is it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that I must maintain the bond of relationship even though the other side severs it. That my relatives, my family members, even if they sever the bond, the family relationship, the ties of blood, if they break it, they snap it, they cut it off, then too I must maintain it. Now this is that bitter pill to swallow. And I must forgive those, this goes as the fifth point, and I must forgive those who make zulm on me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must forgive those who make zulm on me. And I must, and now it goes on as the sixth point. And I must give to those also who deprive me of my right. Now these three things, definitely it is difficult. Put the center fans on if it's getting too hot. They are definitely difficult on the heart, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, my Rabb ordered me these things. And all three things are difficult, especially in our society, where there is hardly a home left in which family relationships have not been broken. Hardly a home left. And where every person seems to say that, why should I bother about him when he doesn't care for me? Why should I give to him when he doesn't give to me? Why should I treat him in a good manner when he treats me in an uncivilized manner? Isn't that our condition? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me. We are not talking here of adal now. Adal is where you are allowed, because Islam is not a religion of extremes. There are people of different temperaments, there are people of different natures. There are some people who will never ever be satisfied until they have taken revenge. So if Shariat had said that you must always give your left cheek, that if a person gives you one tight slap on the right side, then present your left one too. And say, brother, it will be a pleasure if you give me one on my left side too. So if Islam had said that, we would have said it is a religion which is not natural, which is not practical. So taking into consideration the different temperaments of people, Sharia does allow that you seek revenge to the extent that you have been harmed. It is permissible. But one is to be permissible, and one is to look at the namuna or the example of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what did he do. If we call ourselves ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we must see his example, that what did he do? Did he go around seeking revenge? So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this he is not laying the law that you must forgive. He's, don't misunderstand the hadith. But what he is saying is that my Rabb ordered me this, that even if they break the tie, I must maintain it. I must go out of my way to tie it up. I must not allow it to snap. And if they have done zulm on me, whether it's family members or anybody else has done zulm on me, injustice on me, then I must forgive that person. And thirdly, I must even give to those who have deprived me of my rights. I must give to those who have deprived me of their gifts. Allah. Now these three things, although they are separate, but we can discuss all three together. So in the discussion, probably we may come up with lots of things that were discussed in the majlises of the past, or it was discussed on Jummah occasions, or it was discussed in Laylatul Barat talks, or it was discussed in the Eid talk. So it will be a package, it will be a majmua. We get itar majmua. So this might be itar majmua. Or it just comes to mind that in the 1970s, I had one delegation that came and saw me from the university, one of the hostels. And they said, Maulana, we've got a problem with our cook. They did not have a cook for some time, so they employed some cook. And I'm speaking in the masjid, so believe me, I'm not telling you a lie. So he says, we've got a big problem with food. So what is the problem? He says, on Mondays, he gives us baked beans. On Tuesday, we get sugar beans. On Thursday, we get kidney beans. On Wednesday we get kidney beans. On Thursday we get broad beans. And on Friday we get a mixture of all the beans. So that was a problem. Whereas every kind of bean that they were getting was risk from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't say that you must not ask for something else. But this was one of the complaints. So even if you are getting a mixture of all the different majlises, but it is a risk, a ruhani. So therefore, you must treat it as that medication which the doctor says you must go on taking. There are certain sicknesses where the doctor says that you must go on taking. Your whole life now you have to take this tablet. So there are certain hadiths which we must keep on listening till our death day. Because we are bound to make mistakes, or we haven't learned as yet to adopt these type of characteristics. We haven't brought it into our life. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that I must maintain even if they break. Now if you look at the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at the Quranic verses, then so much of emphasis is placed on this maintaining of good relationship with family members. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, he was a Jewish rabbi. And in his first meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it was my very first meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was talking to the Sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. And the very first meeting, he said, afshus salam, spread salam, make salam in abundance. Whether you know the person or you don't know. But of course, I think I've mentioned this also, that it is necessary for the Muslim to have his identity, that I am a Muslim. If he doesn't have the identity of a Muslim, then how do you expect people who do not know him to make salam to him? They will hesitate tremendously. They do not know whether to tell him good morning, good evening, or goodbye, or what to tell him. Yet if that person has got his identity, he's got a beard, he's got a topi, he's got some identity that he is a Muslim, then it will be easy to make salam to that person. Why should we be so influenced by the colonialists? We always talk against the Americans and the colonialists and all these type of things. But those people who are talking Islam all the time in the universities, in the colleges, and at conferences, at seminars and all these type of places, we get the impression that this person's heart is burning with the fire of love of Allah Ta'ala and with the love of Islam. But if you have to look at that person, you will find no sign of Islam on that person. Those very people whose culture he is talking against, and those people whose culture he is condemning, and those people whom he is saying they have shattered all the Muslim culture, he is adopting the same culture. You won't know even after the program, if you did not know that lecturer or that professor or that scholar, then you won't know whether I must make salam to him or whether I must make good morning and good evening to him. Brothers, I'm telling you from the deep recesses of my heart with dard-e-dil, that don't fear all these people, what they are going to tell us. Fear one Allah, you will remain happy. When you are going to worry about too many people, you will not be able to please anyone. You're going to please one, you will displease the other. You can never please everyone. It's impossible. We must make so much of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He blessed us with Islam. He blessed us with Tawheed. He blessed us with Risalat. We must make so much of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He is one and only one. And He asked us to please Him alone and no one else. If only He had asked us to please too many people, we would have been in a problem. When we are trying to please the parents, we are pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because it is His hukam that my pleasure lies in your pleasing your parents. When we are pleasing the wife, it is the hukam of Allah that my pleasure lies in you pleasing your wife. So therefore there is in actual fact the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you look at all the things, when you are earning a halal risk and sustenance, the person is earning halal, he's making an effort, he gets up, he makes his fajr salat, then he goes to the bazaar and he goes and buys and sells. And his niyat is that I must earn halal to feed my family that which is halal. So outwardly he is in the bazaar, he is in the marketplace, he is in his profession. But Allah Ta'ala's pleasure lies in this person going and earning halal. So therefore this is not for the pleasure of the business, this is for the pleasure of that one Allah. So how easy Allah Ta'ala made it that you please me alone, and then you will be out from all your depression and problems. Here the person in his clothing, he's trying to please somebody else. Now he has pleased half a dozen people, but he has annoyed another half a dozen. That woman goes to the wedding, or she goes to the walima, or she goes to the engagement party, or birthday party, or any kind of other party. So now she thinks that this dress of mine, it will really attract everybody, and it will be a pleasure for the eyes of everyone. But she has made half a dozen pleased, and 10 of them, or another dozen of them, are saying, look at that clown, what a clown she looks. Because that is the type of dresses that some of them wear. The same with men's clothing too. That there are some of them, such kind of clothing they wear, that they think that people are becoming very pleased and happy, but in reality they are becoming displeased and annoyed. So if everybody says that I want to please my one Allah, then that will be the end of all worries and problems. Life will become so easy and so simple. In India we have seen that in weddings, sometimes they are wearing the pajama suits and the sandals, and they come and sit down in the masjid. They don't worry what the next person is going to say. He's got a clean, although you shouldn't wear a thing like that and go to the masjid. I mentioned this in some talk that it is makruh for a person to get up with his pajamas and run to the masjid and make salat. That clothing in which you will not be comfortable to meet any respectable person, then in that clothing you should not go to the masjid and make namaz. Now you tell me, those people who wear short shirts, and when they're going into ruku and when they're going into sajda, you can see their backs. Will they wear that kind of clothing and go to their mother-in-law's houses? So in the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what kind of clothing they should be wearing? It will take a little bit of effort, but I'm talking to you as my brother, and much, much better than myself. But where I find a weakness, then it is my duty to bring to your attention that how long will it take? So many have gone for Hajj and Umrah, and on Eid days we find them wearing kurtas. So to your profession, if you had to wear a suit or you had to wear a shirt and pant, well and good. But after you come back home, straight away change into a kurta and come to the masjid respectably dressed and in an attire that will bring noor into your heart also. We are not saying it's farz. It will not take much time just to slip it on. But you will find in your heart also that that dressing will bring some kind of noor. What was I discussing? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I must maintain the family tie even if they break the tie. Yes, from there we went on to say that if we please one Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will not have any problem. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that sul man qata'ak. Yes, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, we are talking about him. This is Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala. He says that the first thing that I heard from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when I accepted Islam and went to him was afshu salam. That spread salam. Make salam, whether you know the person or don't know him, make salam. And believe me, you go to Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif where there is no need for identity. Is there any need for identity in Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif? Even if that person is wearing, has got no beard, he's got no hat, he's got no kurta, he's wearing shirt and pant, and he is in jeans and tops or anything, but does he need identity that he's a Muslim in Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif? Nothing. Allah Ta'ala made it such that in those two places, each and every one there is a Muslim. But that is the place you will find the people making the least amount of salam. Dozens of people are passing, but it seems as if our lips are sealed. We can't make salam to anybody. Whereas in that Mubarak place, every time you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, or just Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, the person will reply Wa alaikum assalam, peace be upon you too. Where are you getting this dua? You are getting it in Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif. Imagine in that Mubarak land, so many people are saying, may Allah Ta'ala keep you peaceful in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat, over pul sirat, everywhere may Allah Ta'ala give you peace. That is the beauty of Islamic salam. That it is not only for a limited period of time, that good morning, may your morning be good, and may your evening be bad. Good evening means may your evening be good, but about the morning I don't know, I don't want to give you any prayer now. Here the prayer is for all times, that may your morning be peaceful, may your afternoon be peaceful, may your evening be peaceful, may your night be peaceful, may your Qabr be peaceful, may your akhirat be peaceful. What kind of dua we are getting? And every time the person is making dua, he is getting a response, he is getting a response. And especially at the Rawza of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, every time that he is reading durood and salam there, then every time he is getting a reply from Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa salam. And not only there, even here if you read it, you are getting a response from Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. But that afshu salam, he said that's the first thing. I don't want to go into the details of that. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's wisdom, and look at Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's hikmat, and look at Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's understanding of the situation. That here is a rabbi, he has accepted Islam, and his name was Abdullah bin Salam. They didn't, even those people had those names beforehand. So he didn't change that. But straight away in his first speech also he brought the word salam in there. Wow. And said, Afshus salam, to make him comfortable, to make him feel easy, to make him feel happy, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has included my name straight away in his first speech. If we speak just on that, it is a whole chapter. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Afshu salam. Then he said, Wa'at'imu ta'am, and feed the people. You can see here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, feed. He's not telling us, don't feed. So those people who say, don't feed, then of course they are not following the Sharia. Nobody is saying, don't feed. He is saying, feed. So many hadiths are filled with feeding. So then why do we say then don't have too lavish weddings, don't invite too many people and all that? Because they that feeding is not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If you have to ask that person, place his hand on his chest and take a qasam and say that all those people he invited for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If that was the case for the rest of the life, why he didn't invite them one day to his house? If those family members were so dear and near to him, then it was only on that one occasion when his son was getting married or daughter was getting married that he thought of that family member. After that, what happened? There were no more family members. So feed to the poor, to the needy, to the family members, to the friends, but don't let be a formality there. Don't let it be for show. Don't let it be for name and fame. Don't let it be for talk of the town. Feed for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's another subject which inshallah in one of the majlises we will deal, that what is feeding and what is hadiya and what is rishwat and all the rest of it. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ, and that was the point that I was trying to bring in, and join family ties. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that this family ties you have to join, you have to keep, you must not allow it to snap. We are not saying every day you must visit your family members. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, his own teaching, is zur ghibban tazdad hubban, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, which in effect means that don't visit a person every day. Don't visit a person every day. Your family members, your friends, your relatives, don't go and visit them every day. It will decrease the muhabbat. It will decrease the love. Something could go wrong along the way. So now and again, let there be a few days to pass and then go and meet again. So nobody is saying we must meet every day, and nobody is saying you must telephone every day. What is meant here is that you must keep that communication open, that the person must not treat you as his enemy, as his opposition, as one who has got no feeling in his heart for you. That means he must treat you as a relative, as a family member, that when he meets you, he gets happy, he makes salam. He does not turn the other way, does not make ghibat and backbite in your absence. That is what it means, that keep that family tie. But at the same time, as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that I, alzama, he says that he uses the word alzam, that means as if he was stuck to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was all the time with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not part from the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was always with him. The sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I did not leave for a single moment. So the muhaddiseen say, how are we going to reconcile these two hadiths? On the one hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you must not meet every day. And on the other hand, here Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and some other sahabas, they say that we did not leave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam any moment of his life. We were always there. If he was resting in the house, we were resting in the masjid waiting for him to come out. If he was going out of the masjid and there was no objection in accompanying him, we were with him. We did not leave him. So they say the reason is that hadith is for those, that is why to understand hadith also we have to have the knowledge. that hadith is for those who are just intimate, are not so intimate and not so close, and those who are family members, relatives or friends, nodding acquaintances. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sahaba like Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, for them they were ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were lovers of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And for the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the laws are different. In the same way, like the love between a husband and wife. So now, does it mean that the husband also every third day he must come home? Otherwise, some husbands it will suit them. This is Maulana said that we must come home after a couple of days. So that is not intended there. The children, those with whom the person has great love, the peer and the murid, the ustad and the student. Now these type of people, if they stick around too, there's nothing there. Because the fish, if you have to tell the fish that you must get into the water now and again, 2 or 3 days in between you must skip, don't remain in the water, will the fish be able to accept that? The fish, its love is the water. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَسَلُّوا الْأَرْحَامُ وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نَيَامُ. And when the people are fast asleep, then at that time you must make salat. Salat of tahajjud. When others are asleep, at that time you get up and you go on to the musalla and you make 2 rakat namaz, 4 rakat namaz, 8 rakat namaz, and you plead to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you get into a communication with Him. You get into a discussion with Him. You talk to your Rabb as you don't talk to anyone else. He is not a sleeping Rabb. He is not a Rabb who put into motion this universe and after that He does not know what you are doing. He does not hear your cries and your wails, and He does not hear your sighs and your ahs, and that Rabb does not know about your pain and your ache, and He does not know about any of sickness and weakness. He is not that kind of Rabb. Yes, sometimes He delays the cure. That is also out of love for that person. Allah Ta'ala loves the crying of that person so much. Sometimes parents make the child cry out of love. They give the child a sweet and they pull it back. They give the child a toffee like that and pull it back. The child starts crying. The parents are happy, they are smiling, and the child is crying. So it's not that the parent dislikes the child. It is, Allah Ta'ala says, some of the bandas of His, He keeps them in that state because He dearly loves their ah and He dearly loves their crying. Therefore, great amount of musibat, great amount, we won't call it musibat, great amount of problems or great amount of trials came upon the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala like it never came on anyone else. And especially our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the amount of trials that came on him and the amount of difficulties and hardships he had to go through, nobody ever underwent. But you will find that their hearts, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them peace inside, that it is from my Allah. That's all. It is from my Allah, it is from my Mawla. I am trying to please Him, so there is great wisdom and hikmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to keep me in this state. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam the first thing in his first meeting was Salul Arham. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith says, Sul man qata'ak, join with those who cut off with you. Sul man qata'ak, the person who cuts with you, that family relationship, that tie, that bond, or is a Muslim brother or sister also, then you join. Go to him, tell him, I'm sorry, make me maaf. Even if you are right, tell that person, I'm sorry. Don't say, meri naak kat jayegi, my nose will get cut. The nose won't get cut. I can take qasam in this masjid and say, your nose won't get cut. No embarrassment and shame will come. Yes, inside the heart, shaitan will put that thought, that person will say, you see, he gave in, at last he came. Never mind, let them say that. But when you are going to go there for the pleasure of Allah and say, I am sorry, then man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. This is, if it is a promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that person who will humble himself, Allah ta'ala will elevate him. Then believe it, that is definitely what is going to happen. But that humbling of oneself must be for the pleasure of Allah. It must be solely for Allah. Somebody read one hadith that if a person for 40 days makes ibadat with ikhlas, then Allah Ta'ala will cause fountains of wisdom to flow in his heart. So for 40 days he tried to make namaz and ibadat and zikr and tilawat, but nothing happened. Not one fountain sprang forth there. So he went and questioned that what happened, that this was promised that 40 days if a person does ibadat, then this is what he will get. He says, for 40 days I did, but no fountain I can find in my heart. He said, yes, you did for 40 days, but for what you did? You did for the fountain. You didn't do for the pleasure of Allah. You didn't do with ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah. You did for the fountain. So you didn't get anything. But if you did it for the pleasure of Allah, if that ibadat was there, it would have not given you one fountain, it would have given you dozens of fountains. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Sul man qata'ak, wa'fu amman zalamak. And the person who makes zulam on you, then forgive that person. Again I repeat that this is the characteristic, or this is the attribute, or this is the sifat and the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the uswa which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks in the Quran Sharif of laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. So that ideal example, that we must not look at this person and that person, that what he does, and we must not look at the book of rights, we must see that what was my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example. And did Allah Ta'ala bring about any humiliation and disgrace upon him because of that? Allah Ta'ala kept on giving him elevation, until the whole peninsula, Arabian peninsula, in his own lifetime became Muslims. Each and every one, there was not one disbeliever left. Wasn't this that raf'at that Allah Ta'ala was talking about? So when we are going to go, when we are going to humble ourselves, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will elevate that person. And in another hadith, وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَدَعُهُ اللَّهُ. And that person who will make kibar, that person who will say, I am somebody, how can I lower myself in front of this person here? He has hardly got a few pence in his pocket and I was going to ask him for maaf. That family member of mine, what do they think of themselves? They haven't even got a proper hut to live in, and I've got a palace and I was going to ask him for maaf. Look at his clothing and look at my clothing. He doesn't even have a car or a bicycle to ride, and I must go and ask him for maaf. So when that person will have takabbur, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will flatten that person. Allah will flatten that person. And this is not something that of hearsay. We have seen in our lives. We have seen in our lives that what happened to those people who out of pride, they used to say things of this kind. Allah ta'ala must bless that person with jannat, forgive his sins. He has passed away. But when I just returned from India, so I didn't have any car for 3-4 years, as I mentioned in one of my talks, and I had to also look for lift to go and visit family members or parents. So I was in one town, and this uncle of mine, he told me, he said that you want to go to Durban, so there's one person, he's going, and I will put you in that car and he will drop you in Durban. So I asked him, who is the person? He said, no, it is so and so. But I did not know the person. But in any case, I accepted the lift, thinking that I can talk to him and get to know him. So in the car, the first thing that he said that, have you qualified? I said, I'm not qualified. I'm still a student and I will remain a student all my life. But, alhamdulillah, for a few years, I had the opportunity of studying deen. So he's... So very, very sarcastically he said that, well, I've got a plan, a master plan, and within 5 years, you will find that all these Maulvis who are Imams and teachers, they all will be put in their places. I'm going to bring from overseas, from Egypt and from this place and that place, all the sheikhs and scholars, and I've got a plan of bringing people who've got degrees and qualifications, because our ulama, they don't even know science, they don't know this, they don't know that, and all of them will be out from their jobs. Within a few days, just a few days after that, believe me, I'm in the masjid, Allah Ta'ala is my witness. A few days after that, Allah only knows what happened, I don't know. But Allah Ta'ala only knows what happened, that his whole empire collapsed. That person had to go begging for loans. I know of that personally. After that, that person was going around begging for loans. And he was very, very rich when he said this. But pride is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not like. Nobody was there to then listen to him. And yet at one time his voice was such that if he had to say something, then I was told that everybody will give him a ear. And after that, finished, nothing. So that person who has pride, Allah Ta'ala will destroy that person. He will flatten him. Because that is the sifat of Allah Ta'ala pride. The more you humble yourself, the more Allah Ta'ala will raise you up. مَنْ تَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَاهُ اللَّهِ. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, سُلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَى إِلَيْكَ. And do good to the person who does bad to you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the person who did bad to you, you do good to him. This is the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And no matter how much of zikr we make, no matter how much of tasbihs we read, and no matter how much of tahajjud, ishraq and chasht we make, and no matter how much of gush and talim we make, but these are the akhlaq, that no matter how much we say that I'm a humble person, I'm a simple person, and I'm a God-fearing person, but let a person just swear that person and then see what happens to him. He will say, I'm haqir, faqir, Abdul Qadir, but then when somebody has to sway him, at that time you must see what is the condition of his face. One wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, somebody told him, he said, they're talking to another person, he said, there goes one, another show off. Pointing to the wali of Allah, he said, there goes another show off. Now what would have happened to us? What was his reply? He said, at last there's one person who has recognized me. At last there's one person who has recognized me. Everybody else is considering me a wali of Allah ta'ala, and they're saying Hazrat, and they're kissing my hand and kissing my forehead. Here, there's one person who has recognized me. That's what he was thinking of himself. Yet he was a wali of Allah ta'ala, and he was great in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But in their hearts, they thought nothing of themselves. One person was carrying wood, and somebody made one another wali of Allah ta'ala, a great buzruk, and somebody looked at him and they said, there's a donkey. Because he got a big pile of wood on his head. He said, he's a donkey. So he also smiled and he said that, well, at least somebody has recognized me what I am. That is what we mean by tawazu. It's a sifat of the heart. It's not just bowing down and showing humility. It's when a person tells you something, when he tells you something that hurts, at that time if you swallow your temper, you swallow your anger, and you say, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how much the kuffar troubled him. How much. They threw stones at him. They threw thorns in his way. When he went into sajda, they put intestines on his back. But my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at Fatah Makkah time, he said, La tasriba alaykumul yaw. There's no revenge. So that Nabi of mine who was troubled so much, what was his akhlaq? I am his ashik, then this is what I must follow. If only we get, the time too has expired before we can even go into details, but even this much, if we just take the lesson for tonight, inshallah we'll continue next week, that if we take this lesson all the time, that what was the akhlaq of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If I may not be able to reach that extent, but to humble myself and to ask for forgiveness and say, I am sorry, what will it cost? Allah Ta'ala, if He is going to give us respect and honor, then why are we concerned about the people? What respect will they give us? I conclude with that one example again which just comes to mind, that we can never please everyone. We can never. There was a husband, a wife, and a child, and they had one horse, and they were going through some villages. They had to pass 4 or 5 villages. So the husband told the wife that I will ride for a little while. After that you ride. Sometimes all of us ride. They had made some arrangement. But in any case, when they were passing one village, so the husband was on the horse, the wife and the child were walking. So the people of the village, they looked and they said, look at this zalim. Look at this zalim person. That he's making his wife and child walk, and he's sitting on the horse. So when he heard this, he felt offended. He said, yeah, all right. So he got down, and he told his wife, you climb onto the horse, and I will walk. I will hold the reins and will walk. So when they came passing the other village, the people said, look at this murid of his wife. The wife is on the horse and he is drawing the horse along. So he said, even this doesn't sound right. So he said, well, let us all three get on the horse. So they all three got onto the horse. Now the next village, they said, look at this zalims. One horse, 3 people climbing on. How can he take the weight of 3 people? So now the only other way now, which they didn't do, was to carry the horse and carry and walk. But they didn't do that. So you can't please everyone. That example is given to say that you can't please everyone. Please one Allah. Brothers, please, one Allah. Don't worry about who becomes annoyed after that. In the pleasure of one Allah, Allah will make everybody pleased with you finally. It will take time. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes years. But those same people who are enemies, they will become friends. Those same people who were thirsty for the blood of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 70 of them gave their lives in Uhud. They shed their blood for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen. And that one sahabi, when he was questioned, that would you like, just to give you the gist of it, would you like that we release you? He was going to be killed. He said, would you like that we release you? And in your place, your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be put. Because it is on account of him that you are suffering. You accepted Islam, and it is because of him that today we have to take your neck off, or we have to hang you. So would you like that we release you and we put Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in your place? He said, you are talking about putting him in my place. I am saying that even if I have to be released, and just one thorn has to injure Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I would not even be able to tolerate that. If you say that we are just going to put one thorn into his feet, that too I won't tolerate. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those who were his enemies, finally what happened? They were the ones who gave their blood and life for them. So inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life and health to continue, then we will continue next week. But brothers, these are not talks, these are not waz, these are not lectures. Lectures, waz and programs we have attended enough, and all these things which I have mentioned also we have heard enough. Every time you will hear it, Laylatul Barat, this, that, different occasions. But now the time is for action. Get into action. If you can't go the whole way, then start somewhere. That, all right, I have a problem with 10 people, at least with 3 people I will start off straight away to put it into action. And then see how Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will engulf that person and will take him along. And one day that same person will become the mahbub of those people who were hating him. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا سچا عشق ہمیں نصیب فرما اے اللہ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اسوہ مبارک پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو صراط مستقیم پر قائم فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو توازن نصیب فرما او اللہ bless us all with humility او اللہ bless us all with the tawfiq of following our beloved Rasul-e Pak Rasul's examples. O Allah, give us the tawfiq of doing all those things that are pleasing to you and your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and abstaining from everything that is haram and forbidden, and everything that is displeasing to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. O Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. O Allah, bless us all with the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين